Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gurs.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Generation of Chaos, an OVA from 2001. I chose this one because I needed something short while we're in between longer things. I've been busy. It was animated by Idea Factory, the studio behind Diabolic Lovers and Hyperdimension Neptunia. Generation of Chaos currently has an Annie-List score of 27%.
Oh, wow, that's low.
That's low. Yeah. Generation of Chaos is an RPG released in 2001 on PlayStation 2. It spawned a franchise of six titles, with the final one releasing in 2012 on PlayStation Portable.
Yeah, I like had to go deeper to find out where the first game was released, because when you look for it, it talks about PSP games, which are like different entries in the franchise. And also, the original game doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
It does not, no.
Can hardly find out anything about it.
A boy takes his dog out to the forest to leave him there before a sister regrets not taking a sick day. Oh, sorry, what do you have?
In a world where monsters and gods exist, trainers are only listened to while they're young. Also, somewhere else, there's a half demon girl that gets her house set on fire. Yeah, they're related somehow.
And goes...
A Pokemon trainer will learn that that you eventually have to grow up, and a half-demon will learn that everything sucks.
Okay, well, for the longer synopsis, we have Gurs today. Take us away.
Okay, so we start with a great opening song by the super talented Nana Mizuki, who performed many songs, including anime soundtracks, and voiced characters in as far as 1998, roles like Hinata in Naruto, and more recently the Gil from Dandadan, who everyone thirsts for.
I'm sorry, what? Super interesting.
Yeah, did you know about the Gil?
No, not at all. That was the interesting part. I should have clarified, thank you.
No, I heard the opening song and I was like, that sounds familiar, and I started Googling, and yeah.
Tough to you, that's pretty cool that you caught on to that.
And ironically, Nana Mizuki's Wikipedia page, the English one, is huge, but this franchise only has a Wikipedia page for one of the PSP entries.
I thought it was two of the PSP entries. You know, out of the six total games.
Yeah, but it's a single Wikipedia page still. The sequence itself isn't that interesting, cutting between scenes from the movie, some environment art, some character art from the game, images of crucifixion, which is always fun.
Just the usual run-of-the-mill anime things, openings, I mean.
This might be an X-Men comic, because they're always getting crucified.
A what comic?
X-Men.
Oh, X-Men. Because X, I get it. They get crucified.
Huh. I mean, they do.
We start with the first part, Departure of Chiffon. Chiffon? Chiffon?
Where? You heard it right the first time.
Chiffon and just move on with it.
So before the movie manages to build any goodwill with us, it shows us a terrible CGI forest which makes even Galarians blush. Then we see static PNGs of some terrified Pokemon in the tall grass and a purple-haired boy riding a monster. We cut to a soothing voiceover like a father reading his children a storybook, telling us that Neverland is a place where gods, monsters, and humans exist, and each day is a fight for survival. But apparently everyone likes it, and kids happily want to be fighters, enslaving monsters and making them fight each other. Where did they hear that before?
Nowhere.
We find out that the boy is Chiffon, and he used to be the very best like no one ever was, but then he got old. After
so
dreaming...
the Pokemon after ever after.
This explains why Ash never grows up.
Yeah, now we know the reality of it.
After dreaming all about that, he wakes up and falls off his mount. He recovers and orders his mount to take him to Kamuria. Actually, that's a terrible I should have added something else in there. It just falls off his mount and then recovers instantly. I didn't add anything clever. Anyway.
Yeah, that is what happens.
He recovers and orders his mount to take him to Kamuria. For a moment, it looks like they aren't moving and I'm waiting for a punchline, but then it turns out they just didn't animate the background moving, making it even funnier.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Chiffon has another flashback where we learn he is taking his monster Hyokamushi to Hyoko Forest. They finally reach the town on the way to the forest and squat in an abandoned house, as you do. You don't go to the inn.
No, you got a massive monster with you.
But they just conveniently find an abandoned house with a window broken. Actually, if I was abridging that, I would like do a transition where the screen is dark and you hear the window breaking, and then he's like, "Oh, no one lives here." After Chiffon leaves Hyokamushi in the house and buys an apple for it, he sees a man fall off a tower and fucking die.
Sorry, he buys one apple. The size of that Hyokamushi, like one apple.
It's are they gonna diet. That's why the size is so big.
Are they going to share the apple? Is he not hungry?
Maybe the apple is like an elven bread. It expands in your stomach or something. The man, Ladui, somehow survives and explains that he and his two sidekicks are looking for violent Hyokamushis. Chiffon hurries back only to find his Hyokamushi has turned feral. As he tries to stop it rampaging through the town, he explains to Ladui that it's just trying to get to the forest, which is beyond the wall that it's heading for. Ladui blasts a hole in the wall. I don't know. And we flash forward to the group remembering that day as they are sending an army somewhere. I don't know.
I'm sorry, but how far away was Ladui from those two? Because it's like that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the knight running towards the castle for ages and ages.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that exact thing, Ace.
I mean, he could have just built a ramp instead of cutting through the wall. It took 45 minutes.
And also, like, in the wide shot, the Hyokamushi and Chiffon are, like, moving very slowly towards him. And it reminded me of Austin Powers, the steamroller.
Steamroller, yeah.
No!
Move!
Taking forever. Yeah, the end. But not really, as we get to the second part of the movie. Rose's decision. I'm going to say Rose. They might have intended Rose, but you never know. The narrator comes back and explains that following the Great Wars, someone is trying to destroy the temporary peace. Then some soldiers led by a clearly evil Oval Man are overlooking...
He is the Eggman. That's what he looks like.
I was trying to describe him like efficiently, and that's what I came up with. Evil Oval Man. Some soldiers led by a clearly evil Oval Man are overlooking a remote region of El Hamper, which is such a stupid name. Hamper? El Hamper?
It's fantasy. Everything has a stupid name in fantasy. That's why I don't like fantasy.
We cut to Rose leaving her little sister home alone to go to town to work, despite her fever. For the next 10 minutes, we watch Rose weave a tapestry on a loom and make no progress because animation budget was too low.
Yeah, no notes.
Just when we are about to fall asleep, the building catches on fire.
I literally was starting to fall asleep. It was so boring.
The building catches on fire and Rosa runs out just to bump into rape gangs from Star Trek The Next Generation. She runs again, accused of being part of a demon family, but ends up crucified along with her sister. It's okay, though, because it was just a dream. It's not okay, though, because she sees smoke coming from the mountain where she lives. The home was set on fire by the soldiers from earlier. Evil Owl Man is like, lul, so random, and rides off. Rosa carries her sister's body out of the building and is met by a demon, Ashley Roth, who says everything sucks. After she buries her sister, we flash forward to Rosa getting much hotter and meeting Ashley in the desert, presumably to do war.
I really liked her earrings.
It's a really cool design. I wish there was more art of her.
But back to the sister. Why did she bury her in the middle of the road?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, could have done it on the grass verge. No, in the middle of the road.
Maybe it's a custom.
I carried her out here. I am not moving her anywhere else.
Animation budget was low. Did he not learn from the loom scene?
The ending sequence plays, followed by the trailer for the game with a timeline of events leading up to it. That's what I thought it is. That's all there was.
Yeah, so was it a good adaptation? Could you either of you find any gameplay footage of this?
I struggled a lot to find the gameplay footage, and I think I found gameplay footage of the wrong game. Because, no, I couldn't find a single recognizable character. And it was at that point that I was like, what is happening? How can I find more?
Yeah, so more footage from the game at the end of this movie. There was gameplay.
That's true.
Like the sprites and the look of the game, it looked nice. And again, I wish there was more art of this game on the internet.
Well, it's a prologue. Its alternate title is Generation of Chaos Prologue. So technically, it's not an adaptation at all. But do you think it's a Yata, a Nene, or a Baka, Arturo?
This is a Baka for me. I'm not going to lie. The first bit, I like both bits separately sometimes. But there's so many problems to it. Even the narrative and the things I liked about it, just they're not worth it. I didn't like it in the end. I wanted to see what happened on the other side of Pokemon's Forever After. But we didn't get to see that. That was all just a flashback. Both characters seemed to fall asleep, like they were struggling with like an illness. And then we have like the half demon girl who I really appreciated, but that also kind of leads to nothing. And yeah, it's a prologue. I get it. I hated it. I want more, but I don't want more because everything was also so useless.
Angles.
So the animation wasn't as bad as I was expecting after the first few moments, the terrible CGI forest. I mean, what were they thinking with some of that? It was okay, maybe below average, the animation. But yeah, story-wise, it was... Some of the stuff was... First off, redundant. Like, first we start with a flashback, then he falls off the horse, and we have another flashback. Why?
And they are both part of a flashback.
Oh my god, yeah, it's flashbackception.
Then you have to flash forward, and I have no idea what happened. Like, I assume that Chiffon is older because his eyes aren't as big.
He's a little taller.
Yeah. But I don't know. Ladu is like, oh, we have to send army over there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Don't forget that Ladu was also like, oh, I was younger back then. But how much younger? You don't even look that different.
I was younger at the start of this anime, and it's only 30 minutes long, so technically still younger.
And it's like, I don't know how old Chiffon was, but he was a kid. Like, kids grow pretty fast, so it could have been a month ago, 2 weeks ago.
He was 14. The announcer during the definitely not Pokemon battle says, oh, he's recently turned 14, so he can't talk to monsters anymore.
Okay, but here's the thing. Children grow so fast, Ace, that that still doesn't answer our question. Was it 2 weeks? Was it a month? We don't know.
The question was, how old was he? I answered the question.
Yeah, I like the second story probably better because it was shorter.
That's not a good reason to like something.
It was a backer for me, especially after that loom sequence. Why was that so long? Cutting between her like doing the looming and the pattern, which doesn't change or shift or move.
Yeah, there was so much drama. I was like, what's going to happen with the pattern? Nothing happened with the pattern.
I had more fun with the loom sequence by trying to research how do I phrase what's the language for the situation? I know this is a loom. What do you do on a loom? I need boredom? To Google that. Oh, you weave on a loom. So, what does she weave? A tapestry, probably. Oh, she's weaving a tapestry. That was interesting for me.
That's how you avoided falling asleep. Literally, I was starting to fall asleep.
No, like the sequence feels like 10 minutes.
Was it not?
It's like maybe 30 seconds, I'd say, but it feels really long because nothing is happening.
I told my wife it was 5 minutes long, and when you said 10 minutes, I believed you.
But, yeah, to circle back a little bit, I felt like the second story was just a beginning of something. Like, it's something is starting, and then they quickly wrap it up and finish the show. The movie. So, yeah.
If you want to know more, then buy the game and learn Japanese.
I don't think I said whether it's Baka, Nani, or Yata. And I want to say Baka, but I feel like more appropriate would be Nani? Like a big
one. Like Nanny the Crab. Oh my lord. Also, the loom sequence was almost a minute and 15 seconds long.
Yeah, but like the part where there's no dialogue anymore, or I think after the man leaves, after the corporate boss comes in and leaves, after that. Because then nothing is happening anymore. Like we see her doing it, he comes in, that's your establishing what she's doing. And then if she's just continuing to work, then nothing is happening anymore. We don't need that. That's the point where you start to fall asleep.
So does this deserve its Annie List score of 27%?
You know, yeah. I think this is the first time I'll agree. Yeah, 27 sounds about right. Wait, what's he saying? Sorry?
Yeah, it's bad and I was bored. Yeah.
How pissed must be the developers of those... must have been the developers of that game to get that anime to like lead into their game.
The studio that produced it was Idea Factory. The developer and publisher of the game is Idea Factory.
Nice, so it is a good adaptation.
So they knew exactly what they were doing, and obviously didn't care that they were doing it.
Yeah, but like I want to think that the stuff that worked on the game didn't work on the anime. Like, unless they made game developers try to make an anime and that's what they ended up with.
Yeah, what should we explain about Chiffon? He was a Pokemon trainer, I don't know. Give me some more cocaine.
Why'd you there be? Hey, don't slander cocaine. There's watch there be nothing to do with monster teaming in the game. Whatever. What's the next hot thing we can look at? Oh, Pokemon. I'm sorry, but that forest scene when they kind of like enter the Pokemon fight. Let's call it what it is. It's a Pokemon fight. It is just so evidently Pokemon. The fully blacked out silhouette. Bush moving out of the way. I was a little excited. I was like, oh my god, I'm watching a lawsuit unfold.
Yeah, but they don't come out of balls. They come out of urns.
Hey, don't forget that they're also that the other patent is writing monsters. Thank you very much.
Right, anyway, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Gauze and Artura.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GamingGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.